Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. A Dangerous Bite. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
If you hear the name Julia Child, I'd imagine one word comes to mind: cooking. And yes, Julia is probably best known for bringing French cuisine into America's mainstream by way of her good-natured, butter-promoting, laughter-filled, French-inspired kitchen. But few know that before Julia Child was, well, Julia Child, cooking icon, she was something entirely different. A CIA operative who helped the Bureau create a crucial recipe not for an omelet, but for shark repellent. Today on Ghost Town, I kid you not, we'll talk about the legendary Julia Child and her time in the CIA. Julia Carolyn McWilliams was born in Pasadena, California on August 15, 1912. After a life in boarding schools, playing tennis, and enjoying her life as a Pasadena upper-middle-class teen, in 1930, Julia attended Smith College, where she majored in history. She was an active college student, participating in Student Council, the Dramatics Association, and, at 6'2" tall, was a basketball player on the women's team. Julia, at the time, was not interested in food at all. In fact, she said herself that she was horrific in the kitchen. But she did chair the refreshment committee at the college's senior prom and fall dance. Not looking into food as a career at all, Julia planned to become a novelist or a magazine writer. After graduating from Smith in 1934, Julia wrote advertising copy for W&J Sloan, a furniture store in New York City. But in 1941, the United States entered World War II, and Julia felt pulled to serve her country. Too tall to join the military, again, she was 6'2", Julia decided to volunteer her efforts at the Office of Strategic Services, called the OSS, the precursor to today's Central Intelligence Agency, or the CIA. One of only 4,500 women who served in the OSS, Julia started out on the ground floor, in Washington, working directly for General William J. Donovan, the then leader of the Office of Strategic Services. Working as a research assistant, according to the CIA website, Julia typed up thousands of names on little white note cards, a system that was needed to keep track of officers during the days before computers. Although her encounters with the general were minor, she recalled later in life that his, quote, aura always remained with her. Julia was then transferred to the office of the OSS Emergency Sea Rescue Equipment Section, where she worked as a file clerk and then as an assistant to the committee's higher-ups. The department itself was created by avid explorers and adventurers Captain Harold J. Coolidge, a scientist from the Harvard Museum of Comparative Zoology, and Dr. Henry Field, curator of the Field Museum of Natural History. Coolidge and Field had sent a memo to Donovan and the Joint Chiefs of Staff, proposing a plan for, quote, unifying and coordinating the work of different agencies in the field of rescue. And thus, the ERE, the Emergency Rescue Equipment Committee, was born. The ERE was there to make sure government agencies weren't having any overlap in developing rescue equipment for dangerous situations, one such situation being a shark attack. Julia worked closely with Coolidge in the project and dove headfirst into concocting a recipe, yes, recipe, for the proposed shark repellent. It was, according to the CIA website, Julia's first and highly unconventional foray into cooking. We'll get into what she did and how she did it after this break. In 1942, a young Julia Child, then Julia McWilliams, was working for the Emergency Rescue Equipment Committee, a branch of the then CIA, to help the department create a formula for shark repellent. I know, it sounds like a Mad Lib to me, too. According to the CIA website, Julia and her team tried over 100 different substances, including common poisons, and found several promising and strange possibilities to help in their plight, including extracts from decayed shark meat and copper salts. After a year of field tests, The most effective repellent was a chemical compound called copper acetate. According to several memos from mid to late 1943, bait tests showed that the blue-green crystal was over 60% effective in deterring shark bites. To create the repellent, Julia and her team mixed copper acetate with black dye, which was then formed into a little disc-shaped cake that smelled like, frankly, a dead shark. The acetate cake was released into the water inside of 3-inch boxes with metal screens, which allowed the repellent to disperse when submerged into the water. The box could be attached to a life jacket or strapped to a person's body, and the cake was effective in deterring sharks for more than 6 hours. Despite positive results of the repellent's initial field tests, the Navy remained skeptical, to say the least. In December 1943, Chief of the Bureau of Aeronautics Edward Howell sent word to the Navy Research Department saying that although, quote, slight repellence was shown in bait tests, the Bureau thought, quote, that it is illogical to expect that such effect as was shown in normal feeding behavior would give any promise of affecting the voracious behavior of the few species known to have attacked man. Very dramatic. Even Coolidge himself was hesitant to utilize the copper acetate mixture, writing in a letter that, quote, none of us expected that the chemical would really function when the animals were stirred up in a mob behavior pattern. Nevertheless, the existence of the repellent was big news and was soon picked up by the media. Excitement spread among the various branches of the military, with requests for the repellent pouring in from the Army and Coast Guard. Even if the repellent wasn't guaranteed to work, it was, you know, something. Unfortunately, and strangely, the copper acetate was deemed completely ineffective in deterring attacks from other carnivorous fish like barracudas and piranhas. But hey, you can't win them all. So finally, after hype and dissent, the Navy issued a formal shark repellent based on Julia and her team's OSS recipe, labeled and known as Shark Chaser, to wide success. Julia enjoyed her work and stayed at that department of the OSS for a year, continuing to engineer tools for agency safety in the water. Quote, I must say we had lots of fun, Julia would tell fellow OSS officer Betty McIntosh during an interview for Betty's book on OSS women called Sisterhood of Spies. We designed rescue kits and other agent paraphernalia. I understand the shark repellent we developed is being used today for downed space equipment, strapped around it so the sharks won't attack when it lands in the ocean. The repellent proved to be a game changer during World War II, both in protecting people and explosives. Shark Chaser was coated on explosives that were targeting German U-boats, as before the introduction of shark repellent, curious sharks would sometimes set off the explosives when they bumped into them. It was rumored that the repellent was also used in the 1970s, as Julia herself said, to protect NASA space equipment when it landed in the ocean. And the repellent, in its original form to repel sharks, is still even being used today. But in 1944, Julia had moved on from this project. From 1944 to 1945, she was sent to Sri Lanka, where she handled highly classified papers that dealt with the invasion of the Malay Peninsula. Then she went to Kunming, China, where she served as chief of the OSS registry. According to the CIA website, Julia had top security clearances and knew every incoming and outgoing message that passed through her office, as her registry was serving all of the intelligence branches. During her time in service, Julia met her husband, Paul Child, a fellow OSS officer. The two were smart, passionate, inquisitive travelers and adventurers, but it was Paul who opened Julia's eyes to the world of French cuisine. After the two were married in September 1946, Paul was assigned with the U.S. Information Agency in France. One of their first visits in France as a couple was a restaurant called La Couronne. Julia ordered the simple, classic French dish, a filet of sole cooked in butter, lemon, parsley, and flour. The meal, to Julia, proved life-changing, according to a PBS piece on the chef, sparking her curiosity and love of French cooking. Looking for something to do while her husband was at work, Julia enrolled in Le Cordon Bleu Cooking School and began learning cooking at one of the most prestigious culinary institutions and food cities in the world. Of course, the rest is history, with Julia Child going on to carve a place for herself in food and entertainment. When her best-selling cookbook, Mastering the Art of French Cooking, was published in 1961, it took the American cooking landscape by storm. Historian David Strauss remarked that the publication of the cookbook, quote, did more than any other event in the last half century to reshape the gourmet dining scene. With the burgeoning TV landscape, Child's vivacious presence made her a perfect broadcast personality, and she helmed a succession of television shows, most notably The French Chef, which premiered in 1963. After over 40 years in the spotlight, Julia Child died of kidney failure at her home in Santa Barbara on August 13, 2004, just 2 days before her 92nd birthday. Friend Marion Kane said, quote, "There will never be another Julia Child. She was one of a kind. Charismatic, funny, clever, a class act, and the epitome of the Jewish word mensch. As a fellow foodie, I pray the burger you're eating on that bench is medium to medium rare and has a large, dry martini on the rocks to wash it down." In Tori Avey's research about Julia Child, she calls Julia brave, curious, bright, and fearless. "To me, she was a chef, entertainer, devout atheist, butter lover, and adventurer. What she contributed to our culture is personally so impressive and equally as vast. From a souffle, to a TV show, to CIA-engineered wartime technology."